The fourth Sunday of Advent. Our theme is God alive in the mess of life. In five more days, Christmas Day will arrive. Dressed differently, weary from a long year, battered but not broken. Christmas 2020 is not as it would normally be. More disjointed and distant, carols, songs, and colours muted by a pandemic still in full swing throughout our world. What a mess, we exclaim. And yet, mess is no stranger to God. Mary was given a message of hope to the world, a message conceived and born in Jesus, a life to live and share with hope and grace for all. A life that immersed grace into our messy human existence, offering abundant life for all. 2020 adds its own mess to the Christmas story. A question for us: how do we give voice to our faith this Christmas? Another question: what have we learnt about faith in the mess of our COVID life? We light the first candle to remind us that Jesus is present with us. We light the second candle to remind us that Jesus came to give us abundant life. We light the third candle to remind us that in our waiting, we can rejoice because God's choice of us remains forever. We light the fourth candle to remind us that the love of Jesus comes alive in the mess of life. We will not fear. I invite you to pray with me the words on the screen. Lord Jesus, we strain to rejoice amidst the muted tones of Christmas. How can we fully celebrate when so many things are different? And yet, in the midst of the changes and struggles, your choice of us has not changed. Your presence is not diminished. Fill us this Christmas with the meaning and joy of your love. Renew hope and love within us, we pray. Amen.
Today's message revolves around Mary, Mother of Jesus, and isn't it great that we can celebrate this amazing woman? To be chosen by God to mother his son means she was and is very, very special indeed. The Virgin Mary had a baby boy. Please sing with us and give worship as we play.
Glorious kingdom. wise men saw where the baby born. The wise men saw where the baby born. And they say that his name was Jesus. He come from the glory. He come from the glorious kingdom. He come from the glory. He come from the glorious kingdom.
It's hard to imagine Mary raising her own family when she knew that one was the Son of God. How would she treat him? Would it be different from all the others? I think not. I think Mary just knew love personified. We're going to sing a beautiful song, and I hope you sing along with us even at home. It's called Mary's Child. Let's get a better understanding of Mary as we sing.
Continue our worship as we share a prayer. Again, you should be able to see the words on the overhead as you respond. So let's pause and pray together. You've got the bold. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, when we are afraid, do not let us despair. When we're disappointed,
do not let us become bitter.
When we fall, do not let us remain prostrate.
When we are at the end of our understanding and our powers, do not let us perish.
No, let us feel then your nearness and your love, which you've promised especially to those whose hearts are humble and broken and who stand respectful before your word.
To all such people everywhere your Son has come.
Indeed, because not one of us is free from the afflictions of life, he was born in a stable and died on a cross.
Lord, awaken us all and keep us alive to this knowledge and this confession.
As we pause now, I invite you to just take a moment and consider the times we live in, for the suffering and hardship, for the errors, misunderstandings that we torture ourselves with, for the burdens we bear, of the great dangers that remain within our world, that our world faces.
Into this mess, hope was born. Jesus, fragile, vulnerable, and present with us, to be our foundation of hope and new life.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Adrian.
Our reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, and it's from the New Revised Standard Version. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favoured one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So as part of our normal time together, we have a children's talk. And if you're at home, kids, this is your time where you put your cereal down or put your bit of burnt toast to one side. And I'll have a short little conversation with you. Now, when was the last time you were afraid of something? Maybe it was the big storms that came through the other week. The loud thunder and lightning, very, very frightening. Boom. I don't know, maybe it was something, you were walking down the park and there was a loud dog barking. Maybe you saw a picture of yourself in the mirror. Whew! I don't know. You know, the story we just heard read out by Adrian, Mary was a young teenager and she was very surprised by this encounter with one of God's angels. And so it would have been very perplexing, scary. She was afraid. What do you do? And, you know, sometimes we think that fear is something just happens in the Bible and, you know, they get over that and they're so, you know, perfect and everything else. But Mary was a real person. She had emotions and feelings. And her experience of this encounter with God was just overwhelming. Reminds me of another story I heard during the week. Colleen, her daughter and granddaughter were driving down to Odinga. And as they were driving along, Georgia noticed something unusual happening. Not sure if you can see it up on here. What does that look like? Well, the mum, Jane, thought, that's interesting. I didn't think we had a car radio there. What could that possibly be? Georgia said, "Mum, it's a snake." So they pulled over the car. And they got out of the car, and that is where the snake was hiding. Now, I don't know how the snake got in there, but that would have been a very scary thing to happen. And I guess their legs would have felt like jelly. And fear is one of the things that all of us, regardless if we're Mary fronting an angel, whether we're driving along in a car and fronting a snake, it's something that all of us encounter. And one of the things that we remember is that At Christmas time, God is with us. So in the midst of our fears, we are not alone. So that's a message we continue to try and gather. Now, I just want to say a special notice to Georgia, who has managed to, I think, get a magnificent ATAR for this year, managed to clean up most of the awards at her school. So well done, girl. Keep that brain working and growing. Good job. All right, so part of our time together, we will turn into notices. So, notices. Well, what a strange year it is. And I think it's really appropriate we're talking about mess. So normally this year we would have been celebrating the Strawberry Fair, but that didn't happen. So the decision was to make do a Christmas market where we could bless the community. But then COVID happened again and that fell over. But we had some tenacious people who were keen to see something happen. And so a group managed to get down to the Vines Markets. And on last Saturday, Leon, special mention to Leon and Marge, who led that, but had a great group of supporters, musos and the like, who sang and played carols, lots of crafts, fantastic experience. So good work for you people. Well done. And the other thing is that Christmas, as we know, is all online for this month. So again, I invite you to try and do a eggnog Christmas Eve, or maybe a croissant Christmas Day, where you get down and watch the combined worship service in the comfort of your home with your family, neighbours, maybe you invite your dog in, maybe, or your pet turtle, or whatever it is you normally don't let in the house, just as a way of celebrating something special. All right, I think it's probably enough notices from me. I reckon it's probably time to turn back to Leon, actually, who's going to lead us in some prayers, and then we've got a special item. So, thanks.
Good morning. During this time of COVID, nothing seems to remain as it was, except to change. Things we took for granted and felt comfortable with also changed, except you, Heavenly Father. You, Heavenly Father, remain unchanged and is still with us. In our prayers for others, let us remember what is gone, and look forward to a new tomorrow. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all we have and our country Australia, and especially as we are here in South Australia. We pray for the leaders of this country and also for world leaders, as especially the transition of leadership in the United States of America. We pray for those in the eastern states of Australia experiencing storms and floods. Father, comfort them. We pray for those suffering from illness, unemployment, poverty, famine, drought, accidents, especially those with trees falling on people, bereavement. Father, comfort them. We think of those people working at the front line of this pandemic, including those doctors and scientists working on a vaccine. Father, there is so much to be thankful for. We're thankful for our Vines family, and the leaders working and leaders of the Uniting Church. With Christmas approaching, we remember your birth and worship you, even as we're not able to worship you face to face, but online. You are still with us. We ask for your guidance, your wisdom, and for tolerance. The new year is just about upon us, and it is exactly that we pray, that we may enter it with expectation and a new beginning to serve you. We ask these things in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
There's a song that asks Mary, the Mary, Mother of Jesus, if she was aware of the enormity of what was happening in her life, and I'm amazed of her grace throughout the whole episode, really. I hope you may catch a glimpse of that grace as you hear this song, Mary, Did You Know?
Your baby boy would one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? And this child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will come the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know?
Pause as we pray. Lord Jesus, as we continue to prepare ourselves for this Christmas season, we ask that your Holy Spirit would continue to stir new life in us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, as these guys are getting themselves organized, I was sitting there thinking, you know, this COVID year is a bit like, you know, being in a race where they keep changing the finish line. So there you are running along and you're trying to get a rhythm and you think, I'm almost there, and they keep changing it. It's just like, what a mess. That's my theme for today, what a mess. And, you know, we've heard many people say 2020 had such a lovely ring to it, but, well, there you go. So I thought I'd do a little quiz for you at home. Hands up if you're sick about hearing or talking or about being involved in COVID. I think we all are, aren't we? Really, seriously. I even think I saw the dog's hand move. You know, it's a poor move. It's just like, wow. And in many ways, when we think about Christmas and the mess we've we are currently in. It's a bit like the first Christmas. I mean, the first Christmas, when Mary encountered the angel, it's like her life was turned upside down. And, you know, to have the angel talk to her and say, well, the baby you are going to be conceived in your womb is going to be the line of King David. Now, King David was the greatest king of Israel. In his time, he had ruled as much property and had as much power as any king ever did. And so to even equate that somehow this baby Mary is going to have was going to have all this power and wealth and authority was just mind-boggling. Particularly when she thought, here I am, a single female. I'm betrothed, but I've got no house, I've got nothing. How is this going to work? The Messiah, King of the Jews, how is it going to work? I guess unlike Mary, all of us can at least say we have shared the mess of COVID together. Now, why? We might have, I guess, had varying experiences, but we've all been stuck in this together. Whereas Mary really was by herself. And sure, she had Joseph, but Joseph probably would have looked at her and said, what are you talking about, woman? How is this so? How can this be true? So there would have been a real sense of aloneness that she would have experienced. And at times, I guess we've all had that this year too, having to self-isolate and things like that. The angel came and said to her, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was much perplexed by his words and the sort of greeting that this might be. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. It's a lot to take in for a 15-year-old girl, or whatever she was at the time. And that idea of whatever plan she had for her life, you know, marrying a very eligible bachelor, Joseph, carpenters were a good catch then. I think they still are, aren't they, Digby? You know, so her life, you know, family, where she was going to live, what she was going to do, who she was going to be married to, was all planned perfectly. And then when this experience came along, it was just became an absolute mess. A bit like the children's talk, you know, Colleen's daughter and granddaughter driving down to Odinga, the snake's head appears, their trip becomes a mess. What they had planned and what happened were two different things. Surprise, shock, disbelief, fear. And in many ways, you know, it's that same experience for Mary. And I guess the interesting thing about that scripture reading is that the angel says to Mary, you will conceive, not that you have conceived. So there's a sense of she still had a choice. There was a sense, and I sometimes wonder, you know, was Mary the first person the angel approached? You know, did the angel approach other young women and they said, no. Mary considered the invitation that the angel gave, that she will conceive. But first she had to accept. She had a choice. And in the grape, I explore a little bit about what that choice might look like. Mary was told that Jesus would be great. He would be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God would give him the throne of his ancestor David. And again, it's like an overwhelming sensation. Who is actually going to believe her when she tells Joseph, when she tells her family, when she tells her friend, when she obviously begins to show? What does she say? What is it that keeps her, I guess, on the track of her faith, of her commitment, of that experience? In the midst of the mess, Mary was confronted with a choice, just like we are. So often when things go wrong, we can continue to fight it. But at some point, we have to stop and accept the reality of our situation. For example, the reality of our situation in 2020 is, for the first time in the Vine's history, you know, we're not actually meeting live on a Christmas Eve or a Christmas morning, which is, in 120 years, unheard of. But there you go. So acceptance enables us to actually begin to be creative, begin to think of other ways we can engage and explore. A bit like Mary, her acceptance of this reality meant that she could begin to focus on what she needed to do next, how she needed to engage. Reminds me very much of the next slide and the choices that she had, this way, that way, another way, what was it? And I picked up the idea of the confrontation that the Grinch had last Sunday. Now, if you missed last Sunday's service, you really need to go back and look at that back folder and enjoy the kids' creative COVID Grinch play. And one of the realities that the Grinch actually discovered was that when he thought all the people were going to be distraught and tearful because he stole all their presents, when they began to rejoice about the meaning of Christmas, he was confused. He couldn't believe it. It was not how it was supposed to be. And the reality of that was like a slap. And he had to accept that the meaning of Christmas was something more. And when he accepted that, somehow his little miserly Grinch heart grew three times the size. Acceptance can allow things to grow that seem inconceivable. And Mary's response of faith was driven by her choice to accept it. Now, obviously, she wasn't dragged around. She didn't see herself as a victim. There was a real sense of, I have made a decision to actually accept this. Her acceptance allowed her to have a faith that had some depth to it, because we know the story of Jesus was full of great highs and lows. It ended with Easter. So what does this mean for us today? Mess of Mary's encounter, mess of life and the COVID restriction. This seems, I guess there's so much of a disconnect, isn't it? When we go out shopping, there's thousands of people everywhere. And it just is very confusing. And one of the things that we often find ourselves at this time is just our emotions can be overwhelming. It's a funny thing, standing here, we're 1 week away from Christmas, and I'm really tired. And I guess maybe you are too, because there's been lots of things happening, lots of changes. And I've just had holidays, so I was like, figure that out. But I think it reflects something on the season, something of the COVID season, something that about our emotions, just having to constantly adjust and adapt and not allow our emotions to drive the bus, because emotions take us to places we don't want to go. And it's just, emotions are important. They let us know stuff's really important, but we can't let them drive. And so that's where acceptance becomes important, because we hear what's happening and we can accept it. And we know that, this year is different. And maybe next year is going to be different. And that's the way it is, because life is a mess. And Jesus was born in the mess. And Jesus was born into humanity because humans are a mess. you just have to look at the world news to figure that out. One of the wonderful things about life is that we all have a choice. That's good. And it's a bit scary sometimes. And one of the things that really sustained Mary was her choice. I came across this picture. I'm not really sure how I can blend that in, but I just love it. I just love that picture, that there is love being shown to this little baby in the womb. And maybe that picked up some of Bill's comments about, Mother Mary loving the child and the kids gathering around. But one of the things that Mary said when confronted with that angel was, "All things are possible with God." Now, for us, we can say, that's just a flippant sort of comment. I mean, anybody can say that. But for Mary, she believed it, because that belief sustained her during Jesus when he was growing up and got lost in the temple, Jesus when he was a carpenter, Jesus when he was baptized and started his ministry, Jesus when he, healed people, was confronted by the rulers, was crucified, rose again, became Lord of the universe. I mean, like, Wow. All things are possible with something that she believed. It was an application of her faith. And I think, you know, one of the challenges we have in life, and I keep hammering on about this, you must be absolutely sick of me saying it, but it's one thing to have faith, it's another to be able to apply it to our situations. That's what they do. They mesh together. They have to. If you don't let your experiences talk to your faith, it's irrelevant. I meet people who have not changed their faith in their entire life, so they have not been connecting their faith with their experience. And I wonder, you know, as she exercised her choice, as she explored what it was and then made a decision and accepted it and then applied her faith to this situation, you know, her faith came alive. And it's the same for us. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was in India, one of my friends, Billy Graham, gave me a little plaque. It said, "Nothing will happen today that you and God together can't handle." And if you're wondering and thinking, what's Billy Graham doing over in India? Well, let me... His full name was Billy Graham Mohan Raj. He's at 22. Wonderful fellow. He got on famously. But that little plaque, it's a pithy little plaque. Anybody, you see it in one of those Christian Goodwill stores and you think, ah. But for me, that was a foundational statement of my faith that I applied to my experience. Now, I don't know about you. What is it for you that in this 2020, what statement of faith do you have that you can apply to your existence? What pithy little comment or what statement or line, what would you tattoo on your arm as a reflection of 2020? I'm not suggesting you do that at home. Yeah, it's a bad idea. But what is that statement? Like for Mary, anything is impossible. Anything is possible with God, or nothing is impossible for God. But what about for you? What is your faith application for this year? What is the word that has come to you? Because mess is not the exception. Mess is the normality of life. So what do we bring? How do we bring our faith to this? I'll give you some chance to think about this. I've got to get the... So again, what is the best way to summarize your faith for this year? E.g., nothing is possible, God. Together with God I stand, or whatever. I'll give you a bit of a chance to think about that. So as the band comes up, let me just lead you in a short prayer. Well, Lord, I love the fact you can do miracles. May your spirit do miracles with those words. Out of that mess, make something clear. And we ask that you would continue to shape our lives and give us an encouragement we need to face today and the future. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, David. Just we go into our last song, seeing Leon come up and do the intercessions, it reminded me of an episode in the Vines in the past, and it was with Kath Stringer, and we know Kath is with the Lord now, but it was such a funny day because she was trying to call up Leon to come forward and speak, and all she could say was, "Is Noel there? Is Noel there?" And we're all thinking, "Who's Noel? Who's Noel?" But of course, Noel is Leon backwards, and we all had a really good laugh over that. So with that in mind, those beautiful memories, let's stand and sing the first Noel. Leon's not the first Noel, but he's close.
Thank you.
done. Remember our motto when we were in lockdown? It was phone a friend. Now when we've been able to get out and connect with people, the theme is connect. So I invite you to connect with people and choose life. Gather around Christmas Eve, Christmas morning, whatever you want to do. Because to grow stronger through COVID, we have to pass on God's love. So go and serve the Lord in whatever way you can, passing on his love in this strange, messy world we live in. Go in peace. Amen.